Okay. Yeah, we're just about there. All right, so I will officially call our October 26th private post-secondary education meeting to order at 10:05 in the morning. Let's see if I can identify the preamble enough here to get us through. Pursuant to ARS 38-43-01-02, notice hereby given to the public of the meeting. So we've done that piece of it. Apologize, I normally have this up and ready to go. Okay, there we go. That's what I'm looking for. The board, upon a majority vote, the quorum of members may hold an executive session on any item listed on the agenda to obtain legal advice pursuant to ARS 38431.03A3 from that standpoint. So with that, I will move into the roll call. So Mr. LaMountain or Mr. Blanchard?
Mr. Romano.
Here.
Mr. Romano is attendance. Dr. Leck?
Present.
Dr. Leck is present. Ms. Kelly?
Present.
Ms. Kelly is present. Mr. Ball?
Present.
Mr. Ball is present. Mr. Wallace?
Present.
Mr. Wallace is present. Dr. Butte?
Present.
Dr. Butte is present. Dr. Mittman? Dr. Mittman will join at around 11:30. As far as staff, I'm Kevin LaMountain, the executive director. Mr. Keith Blanchard?
I'm here.
Ms. Jacqueline Rome?
Present.
Ms. Noelle Vetter?
Present.
And Attorney General Jean Galvin?
Jean Galvin is here.
And Attorney General Deborah Abbey?
Present.
Great. All are accounted for.
Fantastic. Thank you. We have a full group today, that's for sure. Very quickly, any declarations of conflict of interest from any of the board members that you would need to bring forward at this time? Okay, hearing none, we will continue to move forward with the agenda. So we'll move on to item number 4 in regards to acceptance of the audio recordings of the minutes from our board meeting on August 24th, 2023. Mr. LaMountain, can you confirm that those the audio recordings are posted and audible?
Mr. Romano and members of the board, I can confirm that the meeting minutes have been posted and are audible.
Very good. Do you have a motion to accept the minutes?
A motion, Dr. Leck.
Very good. Is there a second?
Dr. Butte.
Okay, we have a motion and a second by Dr. Butte. Roll call will be Dr. Mittman. Dr. Mittman is absent. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. And Dr. Butte?
Aye.
And Dr. Butte votes aye. By that vote of 6 ayes, 1 not voting, that motion passes.
Very good. All right, we will move on to the review and discussion of the executive director's report.
Great. Mr. Romano, members of the board, just quickly, I'll go through the report. I've given you the financials for both accounts, the operation account, the student tuition recovery account. We are currently on track for our appropriated account, which is the operations account. We're a little better than expected at this particular point in time during the year. We're quickly approaching halfway through our fiscal year, and we are below our appropriation expenditure, which is where we need to be. In terms of the student tuition recovery fund, you'll see that we are a little over $635,000 in that account. That includes the revenue that has been brought in recently with the student recovery fund invoices that have gone out. We've collected $308,730. We are still about $44,000 more to go between now and November 1st, which is the deadline. So we're approaching that. I would like to acknowledge that I'm sending a request to the OSPB, our analyst, our budget analyst, along with the governor's office, to transfer $100,000 of operation money that we will have, because we do have a more money in the operations account due to the passage, if you recall, a couple of years ago with the increased fees and for the operations fees. I'm requesting a transfer of $100,000 from that account to the Student Tuition Recovery Fund account, which will put us over $700,000 in that account, and then use about $50,000 of that next year to start the process of digitizing student records that we have, the 4 million records that are at Iron Mountain, so, and start that process. So that should happen by the time we get to our next meeting, in our first meeting in January of 2024, that change will happen. No real additional information. I've listed the list of school closures that have happened over the last through this fiscal year so far. We are currently at 233 licensed schools. That will probably potentially increase a couple of today. We have two new schools on the agenda today for your review. Other things, the only other thing that's really important, obviously the Department of Education has put out a lot of new regulations over the last couple of weeks. We have reviewed those and are working towards making sure that we understand the implications to our schools. Most of those regulations go into effect on July 1, 2024. I do have a list of all of the changes for the board. If you would like to have a copy of that, I will send that to all of you so that you understand what those new accountability components for USDOE. Two more things. One, a legislative update. I did meet with Senator Bennett on Tuesday to go over our sunset review. As you recall, sunset review is up. We are up for sunset review in 2024. I met with Senator Bennett on Tuesday to discuss any issues or concerns that he may have moving forward with the Senate Education Committee hearing. He did not see any at that point in time, and thought that they may even be able to move our sunset review prior to the legislative session, which starts in January, and may be able to go through a hearing in either November or December and get us kind of wrapped up ahead of time. So that would be a very positive step for us to get us through before the actual legislative session starts in January. And then lastly, for the board and certainly for any of the schools that are listening, we are transitioning to a new software system that will begin in December. And it is a completely different system than the Salesforce-based system that we currently use. So we will be going dark starting November 3rd, which is next Friday. And all of our systems will be down for 1 month. Basically, from November 3rd through November 30th, we'll not have the ability to do renewals, supplemental applications through the online portal. The portal will be taken down. There will still be an opportunity for us to work with the schools and do it on a manual way that we've worked on through using some Google Drives and such. So we'll still be able to conduct business. It just won't be through the automated way that most schools have been using over the last 5 years. Once that transition happens towards the end of November, we will be providing training and education to all of our schools and the compliance people that work with those systems so that they're up and ready to go for 2024 when the system is fully available to everyone. And that is it. That's all I have. I don't know if there's any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Lamont. Any questions from our board members? All right. Hearing none, we will move on to, item number 6, which is review, discussion, and possible action in regards to the complaint committee referrals. I do chair that. So just briefly here, for the benefit of the board, we had 3 different complaints to consider at our last complaint meeting. All of those ultimately did escalate to us wanting to bring them to the attention of the full board here, and thus the reason why we are reviewing it. We'll take each one individually here as we kind of talk through it. I will ask Mr. Blanchard or Mr. Lamond to provide any updated information related to it. And then I will also provide some additional commentary just from the actual meeting itself. And then we as a board can decide how we would like to progress with talking with the school to gain greater clarity in the matter. So with that, we will start with the first complaint, which is with Tucson Dental Assisting School. And Mr. Blanchard or Mr. Lamont, any significant updates you would like to bring forward to the benefit of the board?
Mr. Blanchard?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the State Board. At its meeting on September 28, 2023, the Complaint Committee reviewed this complaint and forwarded for further review. At the meeting, it was determined that the ownership during the initial application should have been 15-5 instead of Vandalay. And there was some change of ownerships that took place or change of control in the last few years. Probably to better answer your question is Ms. Rome has been communicating with the institution, who has submitted everything we've requested and for clarification. But I listed in the beginning of my report the four kind of statements, conversations that Ms. Rome has had. So she may want to update you specifically on that because she would have a better clarification.
There's really no updates. Actually, the school has begun. I do not believe that it's completed yet, the change of ownership, which they acknowledge they should have done. And they have been extremely cooperative. All of the players at the school have been extremely cooperative of providing all the information that we need. And some of them are new as well, so they are kind of just getting up to date on that change of ownership, but Mr. Lamountain, I believe that you have the documents for the change of ownership, correct?
That's correct. Mr. Romano, members of the board, I do have all of the documents that have been submitted. They have not been reviewed at this point in time, which is why we are not going through a change of ownership application with the institution today. However, that will be referred to the January board meeting for the change of ownership, but I do have all of the documents.
It's great to hear, Ms. Lamont. Thank you. I know at our committee meeting, it was still under question of whether there was a need for change of ownership. I'm glad the school was able to review the statutes and rules to determine that there was a need to actually submit that particular paperwork, and the school has taken that action to do so at this point in time. Recognizing that there's really no further action that we need to ask for the school to take, given the fact that they have submitted that paperwork and that will come at a later review for the board, or whether the staff determines that that can move forward without needing to come to the board's approval. That being said, this complaint did come forward. We have, as a board, for consideration, we are allowed to apply civil penalties, a max of $1,000 per violation to a school. Now, in these types of situations, we can look at it from a couple different ways, whether it's the oversight of the school management and their understanding and capability to execute against the expectations and the requirements, like that of submitting paperwork in a timely fashion for a change of ownership, and their understanding that they are required to do so in that nature. And then ultimately, we can also look at potentially penalizing them with that civil penalty in regards to the fact that they did fail to submit the change of ownership in a timely fashion. Now, that is not to say that we have to do that, but I did want to take just a moment, Mr. LaMountain, to try and be as consistent with our past practices as possible. Can you share with the board what our past practices have been in regards to a non-timely submittal of a change of ownership, and then potentially applying a civil penalty for inadequate management capability to know to do so?
Certainly, Mr. Romano, members of the board, this is somewhat of a unique situation, as I do not recall having a conversation where a change of ownership happened and we find out literally about it through another means 3 to 4 years after the change of ownership should have taken place. So it is unique. But in the past, we have certainly provided guidance, and we have also levied civil penalties on institutions for failure to meet the administrative capacity. And that has been consistent. The $1,000 fine has been consistent with what we've done in the past.
Thank you for that. Any discussion by the fellow board members in regards to any clarifying questions that you might have or anything of that nature? Hearing none, I will go ahead and make the motion in this particular case with the understanding that the school has submitted the necessary paperwork, although it still needs to be reviewed. The fact that they failed to identify that themselves and bring that forward, but it had to be brought to the board's attention from that standpoint. So I would make the motion that we do apply a $1,000 civil penalty for failure to have adequate management capability, according to, in this case, the grounds for disciplinary action of 32-3051.
Mr. Blanchard?
Yeah, Mr. Ron, you want to probably attach a consent agreement with that, that they'll consent to that civil penalty?
We can certainly do that. So I'll attach the consent agreement as well. Do I have a second from a fellow board member?
I'll second that, Scott Wallace.
Okay. Any further discussion from the board? Hearing none, Mr. LaMountain, if you would do roll.
Dr. Mittman. Dr. Mittman is absent. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. By your vote of six ayes, one not voting, that motion passes.
We recognize the school is also here in this particular case, just based on the actions that were already taken here. The board, the staff will follow up with you in regards to this matter and close it out. But we do appreciate your participation during this meeting. Although we didn't have any questions for you, just making yourself available is appreciated. So thank you for that. And we will move on to our second complaint. So the second complaint is second and third complaints that we may stitch together here are the American Institute of Dental Assisting. Mr. Blanchard, would you provide us with any relevant updates?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the State Board. On September 8, 2023, the complaint committee reviewed a complaint submitted by Desert Dental under 2023 PPE-003. And All Trained Dental, which was complaint number 2023 PPE-004. Because the allegations contained in both complaints are the same, the committee voted to consolidate this complaint into one. I did a brief report regarding these seven allegations that were combined. I submitted the updated investigative report, the AIDA response, and then I also submitted to you the additional documentation submitted by Desert Dental and the additional documentation submitted by All Trained Dental. In the complaint folder also was the complaint committee folder regarding all the information that was submitted that was reviewed by the complaint committee. Here to answer your questions from the institution is Laura Thompson and then Brian Hastings. I did ask both the institutions who had submitted information from a third party, which are more probably experts in digital marketing and Google searches and that sort of thing. Isaac Matthews, Growing Pains Marketing. This is the marketing company used by American Institute of Dental Assisting. And then I believe Kiera, there was another person, correct, that was maybe on in reference to this that could ask questions regarding their search that Ms. Ortega from Desert Dental had mentioned. So I apologize. It should be on the list, but I must not have given it to Ms. Lola Mountain. Other than that, that's all the information we have. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer what I can, and the institution and all the representatives are here to answer any of your questions.
All right. Thank you for that. I will share with the board during the complaint committee, we really were trying to get clarity. I will say the institution itself, AIDA, did have legal representation during that time. It was the position of the legal representation representing the school that we were overreaching as a board in regards to our concern over consumer understanding. We did have dialogue with the school and that legal representation to let them know we did not in any way, shape, or form feel we were overreaching and fulfilling our responsibilities of protecting the public and Arizona students in regards to how they would understand the marketing and materials that are in our rules and statutes as well, and the responsibility of the school from that standpoint. The school's position at that time was that they had used a third-party service that was managing their marketing and working through Google and through Google's automated processes created a situation where their school was the headline school, even if you typed in a competitor's school name, and you can see that in the samples of artifacts that were provided in the folders themselves, that essentially made it look like if somebody typed in, for example, and I'll just say All-Train Dental because it's there on the screen, that and they were looking for that type of schooling, that the school that would come up was AIDA, and it had information that seemed inconsistent with their school, but consistent with that competitive school, creating an immense amount of confusion in regards to the advertising. The school did acknowledge during that time when we had the discussion that they do not review those materials. They have no way to review those materials that are auto-generated by Google, even though their responsibility as an institution under our under the licensure is that they are responsible for any marketing of their school that goes out there that could be misrepresented or misunderstood by the public. The school did, when it was brought to their attention through the complaint, did reach out and work with Google to deactivate this automated service. And we did not have any examples since that deactivation of this auto-generated marketing that would show that it was still existing there. So the good news is the school did reach out and take action upon that with Google, and I'm not aware of any changes to that at this point in time. So hopefully that brings the board up to speed on some of the discussions that took place from that standpoint. It was a point of contention of if the school did give specific instructions to Google in regards to telling them if they put in this school's name or anything of that nature, that they would pop up, that they would take that information and ultimately populate it to their benefit. The school representative, Mr. Hastings, stated that they did not from that standpoint, albeit he did acknowledge that he has a third party that manages that particular piece of it. And it was his opinion that that person would not have taken that action, although we did not have any true substantiation of that. So I will pause there. I'm going to ask if possible, if the school, Ms. Thompson or Mr. Hastings, you would like to provide any clarity to what has already been stated here or any additional updates. So if you would just please introduce yourself and then please feel free to share any relevant information. Understanding at this time, the board has had a chance to review the materials. So please don't feel obligated to take us through the entire history of it, but rather what you would consider to be relevant points from what I've stated here that you may disagree with or feel like there needs to be further clarification on or any updates.
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Brian Hastings with American Institute of Dental Assisting. Thank you, Mr. Romano and board members, for the opportunity to address you here today as well. Firstly, before I'd like to begin, I just briefly wanted to address our previous legal representation during the initial committee meeting. The manner in which the board was addressed does not reflect ADA's belief and understanding of the mission or the respect of the mission of the board. And so I want to apologize in regards to that. Again, as I said, that's our previous legal representation. At the time of our last meeting, since the time of our last meeting, we've conducted more research and provided that timeline in our updated response. We hope that it was clear that we've worked to identify the root cause and the problem of the situation. We've taken corrective measures to make sure that this doesn't happen again. And knowing that it's resolved, I want to clearly state that I take full responsibility for the oversight with the third party ad marketing company. These were unintentional errors that are not in line with ADA's values and with the policies that we have here. We've put measures in place, as mentioned in our response, to audit all future and current marketing materials as well as our operations. I genuinely apologize for any confusion or concerns of the situation that have arisen. We've learned from this, both in our marketing as well as in our operations side of things, which we've implemented audits and checks to make sure going into the future this does not happen again. One side note I did want to address was there was a circumstance that was identified before any complaints arose, and we had addressed that at that time as well. So we were being proactive and trying to make sure that this was corrected. As I said, I take responsibility for that oversight, and I know with the audits and the practices that we've put in place that will ensure that it won't happen again.
Thank you for that, Mr. Hastings. I'll start off with a couple clarifying questions, and then we'll see where we go from that standpoint. Some of this is just for procedural purposes, just for acknowledgement. So I apologize if they may feel redundant to you. That's not the intent, but it is just for the matter of our discussion here, just to get them out in plain sight. Are you aware of any current marketing activities that you're doing that if somebody does type in a competitor name, that you would come up under that branding in Google with your name and description?
No, I'm not. We've also had a third-party company audit our account to verify that that is correct. So, no, that will not happen.
Okay. Have you had any opportunity to connect with the other schools that had brought this concern forward and had any dialogue or discussion with them regarding this matter?
Yes, we have. I reached out to Desert Dental, and we had a phone conversation with their owner in regards to the situation and as well as them attempting to contact us and apologizing for that situation, but we have made contact with them, yes.
Okay. Appreciate that. Before I go to the schools that brought forward the complaint to just hear their perspective, I wanted to give fellow board members an opportunity to ask any type of clarifying questions you might have in regards to the school. Okay, hearing none. If I could, I'm going to just quickly ask, I believe it's Ms. Lingenfelter from Alltrain. Are you present with us today? If you are, we cannot hear you. Mr. Lamont, are you able to see if anyone from Alltrain Dental is with us today?
I'm looking to see, I don't, There's some phone numbers on here that don't have people attached to them, so but I do not see Ms. Lingenfelter.
Okay. With that, I'll transfer over to Ms. Ortega of Desert Dental. Are you with us on the call today?
Hello, Mr. Morano. Yes, I am.
Fantastic. All right. Just wanted to take a moment. Obviously, you've brought this complaint forward. I wanted to see if you had any new information that you feel would be relevant for this board in understanding the situation.
Yes. This week, I did submit a couple of more pieces of information over to Keith Blanchard. We did receive a phone call from Mr. Hastings, both Hastings, and they did reach out and they did apologize. My biggest concern is just looking back, I actually reached out to a website person to kind of run some analytic reports on things just so I can try to get a little bit more better of an understanding as far as how Google works, how ads are ran, and reaching out to somebody, I was provided with some more information upon what they found, having to include other schools that were also found in some reports, and just some things that were going on that I wanted to address to the board, just because the findings that my website person brought forth to me, I thought it was important to share with the board. That way we can make sure everything is just meeting protocol and being done the correct way. I did bring along my website person. His name is Vincent Barron. And if he can.
Listen, Ian.
Are you there, Keith?
Sorry, and Ms. Ortega, really quickly, I want to caution us, although I respect the individual you're bringing forward here, we don't really have a way to qualify their credentials on information that they might be providing or presenting as factual, and I just want to be cautious we don't overstep it in that matter. We certainly understand, and to be quite transparent, I even took some time with our own IT and marketing people to understand the practices of Google, how things can kind of come about and what that looks like. I would actually consider him a subject matter expert since he's written several books on the matter, but that aside, I just want to be cautious that we don't add in opinion to this matter, but I do understand, obviously, if there are other things that you are finding since posting the complaint and the corrective action has taken place, if there are additional things that you are still seeing, we certainly want to understand that particular piece of it. But if it's in regards to what has already occurred and what we've already been made aware of, I don't think we need to engage in that discussion.
Okay. Yeah, I had just brought forward some information. It wasn't after the fact, but it was other schools like U of A that were found, their name being used on ads as well, but it was currently not after the fact of the complaint being put in. It was in the past, back in April. So I know I had submitted everything to Keith, and Keith had asked me if I did have somebody to represent on that information that was submitted.
Well, and I apologize. I just want to, I know during our committee meeting, we were talking about possibly bringing somebody forward. I'm just not sure in this case, if we would really prefer it to be an independent party. And I apologize. I'll take a moment. Mr. Blanchard, was there something maybe we were overlooking, or do you feel like there's something we should consider further here?
Hi, Mr. Chair. Yeah, we just got a hold of Ms. Lingenfelter, who wants to call in real quick. She said she didn't get noticed, but so is that okay that she calls in and at least give you her quick?
Certainly.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
In regards to, though, Ms. Ortega's statement that she had conversation with you pertaining to bringing forward somebody who could speak to the Google online advertisements and those types of things. I just clearly stated I don't know if that would be the best piece, just because we would want a non-biased party to speak on that matter. But I wanted to clarify, was there something I was missing, Mr. Blanchard?
I don't believe so. I think you have a good pulse on everything. I'm not sure if Lingenfelter, what additional she can add. I had given you everything that Ms. Ortega and Ms. Lingenfelter submitted up to yesterday, but I know that Ms. Lingenfelter might want to have me at least make a comment or a statement for the record, if that's okay.
Okay. If I had to guess, you were probably online with her, trying to reach out to her, and maybe didn't hear our discussion. But that being said, I think at this point in time, understanding it's not really new information, but pertaining to what we've already identified, I'm going to move on from that particular piece. I will just quickly see if Ms. Lingenfelter has been able to join the call. Okay.
It might take her a minute.
Yeah, we'll see if we give that a particular moment. Board, again, any additional clarifying questions that you might have had a chance to consider that you would like to bring forward at this time?
None for me. I think you guys have explained it all from the meeting.
Well, obviously, this is a situation that creates a lot of confusion, as I'm sure you've seen in the various snapshots. It is really hard if a student were interested in another institution, that how they would even know or be able to keep that straight from what Google ended up responding back. But we do know that there are instances that may have been out of the school's control, albeit the school did make a decision to sign the or move forward with the auto-generated content from Google, and the school did fail to have any steps in place to validate that marketing material before it went out into the marketplace, which is their responsibility and their ownership per the licensure agreement. So I just want to remind the board of that particular piece of it, because we do have, in this case, consideration for a civil penalty. And in addition to that, there could be further action taken by other schools that were impacted by this situation that ultimately would result in matters outside of this board's direct oversight. However, depending on that, could come back to the board's attention at a later date. So I just share that matter, not saying that would be the case, but just merely clarifying for the board's benefit. We can take action at this point in time, but there may still be action that comes back later as a result of any outcomes outside of our oversight. So I'll pause there to see if the board has any questions, clarifying questions they would like to ask on that. Okay. Hearing none, and with the recognition of what we can do, I'll pause just one more time to see if Ms. Lingenfelter has been able to join the call as of yet.
Mr. Romano, I see Ms. Lingenfelter, can you?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, she's here.
All right, I'm going to take just a moment here. I want to be very respectful with the audience today and how we're moving forward with this. I understand you may not have received notification that this meeting was taking place in regards to the complaint. I will quickly bring you up to speed. We've had a chance to hear from the school. We've received updated information as well. We've also given Ms. Ortega the opportunity to speak on Desert Dental's part. I realize you didn't hear the commentary from the school itself. The school did share with us, that being AIDA, that they did make attempts and reach out and possibly have conversations with the schools that were negatively impacted during that time to have conversations. You can acknowledge that or not. That's not really material here as much as we wanted to at least give you an opportunity. If there was any new information since the complaint committee and our identification of the marketing misrepresentation of material on Google, if there was anything additional that you are aware of that you've seen since that time that would bring into question marketing practices by AIDA.
No, I mean, unfortunately, I missed the conversation. I trust that Ms. Ortega explained both on both of our behalf, since the situation was almost identical. And I was not contacted by AIDA or the board or anything in regards to this since the last meeting.
Okay. So I appreciate that. And Mr. Hastings, I do see you have your hand up, and respectfully, I was just trying to appreciate and bring her up to speed. Your opportunities to converse with one another outside of this board meeting are certainly within your rights and your abilities too. We always encourage that of fellow school members to engage in that. I also want to be very clear as well that for your benefit, Ms. Lingerfelter, that Ms. Ortega also did bring forward one of her IT people to want to talk about what they have found in the way of analytics and that related to Google. I'm respectfully not allowing that to occur in this discussion, only because we don't have the ability to validate that individual's credentials, and it would be questionable about it being a non-biased perspective on that particular piece. And for the gentleman who she brought forward, please take no disrespect to that. I just don't want to put you in that type of situation either. So we can certainly see how this might persist later with the board staff and their review, but that was not intended to be any disrespect to you or your knowledge of advertising in the digital space as a whole. Yes, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to state that, as I mentioned previously, I reported to the police and to the FBI, and the FBI views me as a victim, and I'm not allowed to speak to them since it's a criminal matter.
Very good. And thank you for that clarification on that piece of it. And as I was sharing with the board, there may be other legal actions that are taking place outside of our board oversight and what that looks like. And that may result in this matter coming back to our attention later down the road. At this point, with what the board has the ability to look at and review, really what we have here is a situation where a complaint was brought forward about questionable marketing activities. We had dialogue and discussion with that school. The school acknowledged and took action in regards to correcting that matter with Google. From that standpoint, we don't have anything to support at this time that there are any additional marketing discrepancies out there or misrepresentation. And for that matter, for us, for the purposes of this board review, we would now move forward with where we will make a motion in regards to what action to be taken from this standpoint. So I will do that at this point. I do want to again state to the school, in this case AIDA, you have a responsibility in regards to all marketing materials that you put out there. Signing a contract with a third party and relinquishing that responsibility and oversight does not admonish your responsibility in regards to your expectations around your licensure. Doing that, you could risk losing your license to operate with us. So we want you to understand the severity of that situation. Mr. LaMountain, do we have any past history with AIDA of disciplinary action, or that we should be aware of or consider that you would feel is relevant to this matter today?
Mr. Romano, members of the board, no. There have been no disciplinary issues. There have been no student complaints that have been brought forward. The operation for AIDA, they have been around and licensed for a number of years, many years, and this is the first instance that we've had an issue with the institution.
Yeah. Also a clarifying question, and you may or may not know this answer, in regards to the civil penalty, the max per violation, I wanted to just clarify, in this particular case, it's not within our right to take any action based on the number of examples that were provided, but more so just directly related to the activity of inadequate management oversight in regards to the review of marketing materials. Is that an accurate statement?
Mr. Romano, members of the board does have the flexibility to look at it in different ways for each instance if there's an issue, and or looking at it as a general overall accountability with administrative capacity and use that as the violation if that's the direction of the board.
Okay. I appreciate that clarity. Thank you for that. So with that, again, I'll make a motion at this point in time based on the rules for advertising of R-439-304 and then our ability for grounds for disciplinary action against 32-3051 and the fact that there were two different complaints that came forward from two different schools that we would impose a civil penalty of $1,000 per that the schools that brought forward the complaints, so that would be $2,000 in total, and that we would enter into that consent agreement to impose that. So that is my motion at this time. Before we explore a second on that, Mr. LaMountain or Mr. Blanchard, any further refinement that I need to add into that motion that you would want us to consider?
Mr. Romano, not from me, and we may want to refer to the Attorney General if they have any additional questions or issues with the motion.
I think the motion makes clear that it's a $1,000 civil penalty per complaint.
That is correct.
$1,000 total, so that is clear. I have no other questions.
Thank you. With that, do I have a second by a fellow board member?
I second.
Okay. Ms. Kelly, thank you. Any further discussion by the board members? Hearing none, Mr. LaMountain, if you would take roll call.
Dr. Mittman. Dr. Mittman is absent. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Butte?
Aye.
Dr. Butte votes aye. But the vote of six ayes, one not voting, that motion passes.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Hastings, obviously a very difficult situation that has occurred here. Our hope is that you understand how significant this is. We realize you're operating the school, and sometimes the marketing side of it is not always as highlighted or prevalent in that, but we need you to clearly understand that that is the school's responsibility based on the licensure agreement from that standpoint. Our hope is that through this, you'll be able to navigate through working with the other schools, hopefully find some resolution from that standpoint. And depending on how this matter persists, it may be brought back to the board at a future date for additional consideration. But at this time, we'll consider this matter closed. So we appreciate your time today and your participation, as well as that of Altrain Dental and Desert Dental as well. And although we did not reference you directly, Mr. Matthews from Garland Pains Marketing, thank you as well for participating. So with that, we will move on to our next agenda item. And this will move us to agenda item number seven, getting ahead of ourselves, a review, discussion, and possible action on the following change of ownership applications. The first school that we have up is Chairside Dental Academy, with Mr. Ball being the lead.
Okay, this is a simple change of ownership application. Is Ms. Feingold present?
Yes, Ms. Feingold, if you could just speak up.
Okay, I see you.
it's hard to hear you, Ms. Feingold.
Oh, okay.
Would you like to make any opening statements before we proceed?
Thank you.
Ms. Feingold, we're having a very difficult time hearing you. If you could either move closer to the microphone or...
How about now?
Much better, thank you.
Perfect, thank you.
Ms. Feingold, it's still going in and out. I don't know if you can...
Okay. How about now?
Yes. Don't move. It's perfect just where you are right now. So.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Ball, Gordon.
Yeah, unfortunately, I apologize. We just...
We can't hear you.
Yeah, you're coming in and out, so you'll either need to consider getting a microphone attached to the computer or something of that nature. Why don't we... yes, go ahead, Ms. Rome.
Mr. Romano, members of the board, it might be best if she actually calls in and just takes it off of her computer versus being on the computer.
Much better.
While she is doing that, why don't we move on to Images Enterprises? And Mr. Wallace, you are the lead on that one, and then we will come back around to Chairside Dental Academy.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
We can.
Well, I'd ask that question first. I see Mr. Serrato. Have I pronounced your name correctly? Are you here? Is there anybody else from Images Enterprise?
Yeah, this is Jackie Berry Fisher. I'm the original owner.
Okay, all right. Do you have any comments to make at this particular point in
time? I just want to say that I'm excited about this change of ownership. I am working for the new owner of the company, which is Ramon Serrato. My son is Mike Berry. I believe he's also on this. And as most of you know Mike Berry, through the last 10 years, he has assisted me in administration. And he will be the supervisor and administrator for the entire school. So with me selling the ownership to Mr. Serrato, it has opened up opportunities for my employees to have benefits, medical benefits, dental benefits, and things like that. So we're able to get a more steady income and benefits for the employees. And for my students, it also brings in advancement where we can make the courses into 15-week courses in larger courses. Things like accounting really needs to be a little bit longer because accounting is a little bit more difficult than some of the other programs. So by me selling the company to Ramon, I just want to assure everybody I am still working for Serrato Corporation and helping them and assisting them to get accredited and things like that. And my son, Mike Berry, is also staying on with them full time and permanently. And he is also continuing with compliance, the ETPL and things like that.
Did the programs that you offer pre-sale, are they continuing on? Have they been discontinued or are they
everything just... stays the same. The only thing that's changing is Serrato Corporations is able to add more benefits and better education for my students and better working conditions for my employees. All the programs are the same. Everything is operating the exact same way. All of the teachers are the same.
Okay, I looked at their financial statements. This is to the board, and there's considerable financial strength there, so that's good. And they've made you an offer, and the agreement is in the board packet. So I'm just going to open it up to any other questions that my fellow board members might have at this time.
Mr. Wallace, I see Mr. Serrato has joined, so I don't know if you want to have him make a statement as well.
Yeah, Mr. Serrato, if I've mispronounced your name, would you please correct me? And if you would just like to indicate what your plans are for this operation that you've just recently acquired. Mr. Serrato?
Mr. Serrato? I see, again, Mr. Wallace, I do see him on, but I don't know that. Mr. Serrato, if you would like to call in, if that's an issue.
Oh, Aaron.
If not, we can move forward.
We may be setting precedents for coming back together in person moving forward.
Any other questions for the board?
Ms. Wallace, this is Mike Romano. I don't have any. I recognize Mr. Serrato is unavailable, or at least we're unable to hear him, but I do appreciate other representatives of the institution being available to answer any questions. I know Mr. Berry is potentially on the phone as well. If Mr. Berry, maybe if you have anything additional that you would like to add. Assuming he may be having some audio issues as well.
He's texting me right now, so let me. They're calling in because they have a hard time getting the internet to work.
Okay. Well, I will assure Mr. Wallace, I do not have any questions.
You know, the package put together is very, very clear pretty comprehensive. While I'd like to hear from Mr. Serrato, I'm also prepared to make a motion, if that would be appropriate.
You may certainly do so.
I make a motion to approve the change of ownership subject to the maintenance of a $15,000 surety bond.
Do we have a second on that motion?
Second, Dr. Boutet.
Okay. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Mr. Lamont, if you'd like to do a roll call.
Dr. Mittman. Dr. Mittman is absent. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly? Ms. Kelly?
Aye. Sorry.
Kelly votes aye. Dr. Boutet?
Aye.
Dr. Boutet votes aye. By the vote of 6 ayes, 1 not voting, that motion passes.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we appreciate your time today. Thank you for joining us. And if you could pass the word to Ramon and Mike, I'm sure they would appreciate it.
So. I certainly will. Bye, you guys.
Thank you very much. We'll do a quick rinse and repeat and see if Chairside Dental Academy is back on and if we are audible with them.
Ms. Feingold, can you hear us?
Ms. Feingold? Ms. Feingold, I don't see them on, so perhaps we move on and then come back.
All right. We will keep it rolling.
I'm sorry.
Oh, there we go. Ms. Feingold?
Yes.
No. We still can't hear you very well. We see you.
Mr. Lamont, is there a code that they need to type in to come off mute on the phone?
No. Just allow them. I have them where everybody can call in and unmute themselves.
If you enter the PIN number, okay.
Yeah. Mr. Feingold or Ms. Feingold, we see you fine, but we can't. Everything that you're saying is garbled. I don't know if you have the ability to put in a different microphone or just Ms. Feingold, I see that you had your phone. Did you, have you called in?
Ms. Rome, do you have something additional to add?
Yes, Mr. Romano, members of the board. I think that they asked for a PIN number, and I can give you that PIN number. Shake your head if that is what you asked for. Okay. Okay. The PIN number is 616-612-257-1810.
Okay, we'll try again.
Not to be confused with another random 13-digit code number. I mean, wow. Were we concerned about some type of privacy here? My password isn't even that long.
I don't think it's right to call that a PIN.
Yeah.
It's not a PIN. All right, Ms. Feingold, can you...
I'm going to put another pin in the chat if that one doesn't work. There are two pins listed.
All right. For the benefit of the team, while Ms. Feingold continues to work through that matter, we'll continue on in our agenda to try and maximize our time. So we'll move on to agenda item 8. Review discussion and possible action on the following pending licensure applications for conditional to regular. And the first school up is that of Accurate Medical Solutions, and Ms. Kelly is the lead.
Thank you, Mr. Romano. Is Ms. Rosenoff?
I am.
Hello. Yeah. Okay.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you great. Thank you. Thank you. So before I start, would you like to make an opening statement before we proceed?
Hello.
Can you hear me now?
Hold on a second. We can hear you.
Ms. Feingold, now we can hear you. So just if you want to mute that, then we'll bring you back up. Thank you.
And Ms. Rosen, you don't have to make an open statement. I was just giving the opportunity.
Okay. I'm good then. Thank you.
Okay, great. So listen, I looked at the packet and looks like you have everything in place. Is there any board questions before we move on to a recommendation?
No.
Okay. All right. So I would recommend that the action here is to move to move Accurate Medical Solutions from conditional to regular with the stipulation that the $15,000 surety bond is maintained. Mr. Romano, did that make sense? It does.
Okay. Do we have a second by a fellow board member?
I'll second, Dr. Leck.
Very good. Hearing that second. Any further discussion from the board? Hearing none, Mr. LaMountain, if you would.
Dr. Mittman is absent. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Butte?
Aye.
Dr. Butte votes aye. By the vote of 6 ayes, 1 not voting, that measure passes.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. And thank you for your staff for always being so patient and helpful with me. I appreciate it. Appreciate everyone's time. Thank you.
Thank you for that. All right. We will, third time's the charm. Let's go after it. And Ms. Feingold, are you able to now speak?
Hi. Thank you for your patience with that. My name is Ms. Feingold, currently owner of Chairside Dental Academy. And thank you, the board members, for considering approval of ownership of this company. I want to introduce our office manager.
Hi, I'm Jeffrey Feingold. I'm the office manager, so I'd be glad to answer any financial questions or licensing questions. That's what I handle.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so you're ready to take the big plunge here and buy a school. I see in my review of the financials that you have some personal assets that will be used to help secure the stability of the school. What are your plans for the future?
So the plans for the future is, incidentally, it just happened that we're on the same board meeting with Serato. So the plan is we are selling 40% ownership to Serato also, and then we would move forward with Serato. It just happened that we're on the same board agenda, but the plan is to grow the business. Add okay. more staff members, yeah, increase enrollment.
Mr. Ball, just for clarification's sake, the additional change of ownership, so what we're dealing with here is Ms. Feingold owning the 100% of the institution. She has then notified me and Mr. Serato has of the 40% change. That will not constitute a second change of ownership because it's less than 50%. So he will be, that process will happen after this change of ownership, but it will not come back to the board.
Okay. Any questions from my fellow board members? Hearing none, I will make a motion to approve the change of ownership application with the condition that the surety bond of $15,000 be maintained. Ms. Feingold, do you agree to that stipulation?
Yes, I agree.
Great.
Is there a second?
Scott Wallace seconds.
Mr. Wallace. Thank you, Mr. Wallace. Any further discussion by the board? Hearing none, Mr. LaMountain.
Dr. Mittman. Dr. Mittman is not present. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Butte?
Aye.
Dr. Butte votes aye by the vote of 6 ayes, 1 not voting. That motion passes.
Very good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you for working through the technical difficulties.
Well,
we appreciate it.
Thank you guys for being so patient. Thank you.
No worries. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll move back to agenda item number 8 in regards to the review, discussion, and possible action on the following pending licensure applications. We'll move on to under the conditional to regular school number 2, Arizona School of Medical Massage and Wellness, by our board lead, Mr. Butte, or Dr. Butte. Thank you. My apologies, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Romano. Ms. Roker, if that's not the correct way to pronounce your name, if you could correct me, I'd appreciate it. Are you here?
I am here. Thank you. It's Recker.
Recker, thank you very much. Do you have any opening statements that you'd like to make?
Sure. So I was supposed to start in September, but I didn't start till January. So my first group of cohorts, I had 9 people, and they just finished last month in September. The overall GPA was around 93%, so they did great. The MBLEX had 5 so far of taking it and passed their first time. And 4 of them are scheduled, and due to their participation in our MBLEX prep, I have no doubt that they'll score great. Their participation in class and their scores were great. Before I even started my first class, the community is going crazy for medical massage. There's so many people in Sun City and in Peoria with pain, and I have a local plastic surgeon, Dr. Johnson, who was really impressed that we're teaching manual lymphatic drainage and has seen lots of results with his patients. So now He's referring so many people. I'm like, hey, we have to practice the other stuff as well. And so really happy with that. Lots of senior care homes are calling out looking for student massages as well. I'm hoping to get more. I only had 1 week between classes. I currently have 14 enrolled in my second program, so it's progressing quite nicely. And I'm finding lots of other medical professionals that are actually taking the massage program, which is interesting. I have a doctor of occupational therapy and physical therapists and professors from Midwestern in my program right now. So it's keeping me on my toes. I hired my first instructor who was supposed to take over, but now we're co-teaching because the class got so big. And I'm getting calls, so I'm hoping to start another class in January. I hired a bookkeeper and help with my website and social media. I've attended 2 national school summits to learn more about running a business and about teaching. And I've been getting support from the SBDC counselor and Sandy Fritz, who wrote the textbooks, and Dr. Church Ninoff, who is with the Science of Massage Institute. I've incorporated his book. And then lastly, I just wanted to say that, like, I've been compliant with changing any changes with the program, with my surety bond, and I hope I get approved.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. I have reviewed the packet and looked through all of your materials, the catalog, and the enrollment agreement. I have just a few questions and comments before I move to make a motion. You've already spoke some to it. I'm curious about your 2-year strategy as you move forward here as a regular institution from a growth standpoint.
So right now I have 1 evening class, and I want to start a morning class in January so they can both run at the same time. So they would be on the same day, but I have more instructors sitting on the bench in case I need them. Mm-hmm. So I'll hire instructors as I have the funds to do so, as I enroll more people. And then next September would start another evening class. And if I start in January, then that would end in September. I could potentially have 2 running at the same time, which would then open up the potential to have, instead of 2 4-hour live days, I could have 1 full day on Thursday, like a 9 to 6 with a 1-hour lunch in between to add another program going at the same time. And then I'm supporting myself with renting out rooms at the school and continuing education on the weekends, which provides extra discounts on their 24 hours of required hours for the alumni. And I think I have over 200 hours myself from sitting in on there every weekend this year. I've had tons. I'm planning on continuing to grow. I'm in a 3-year lease, so I still have another year on that, a year and a half, and potentially trying to maybe find some real estate, because I'm also a realtor, and if I can find some commercials, you know, space to build a bigger school, I'll do that. I think I would like to remain non-accredited. I don't think I have interest in going to U.S. Department of Education. I like being a small school. I don't think I would want to grow more than what I'm doing right now. But I may want to open up another school in, say, Tucson, because I have connections down there. I used to teach continuing ed down there, and they desperately would like another school down there.
Thank you.
Sure.
Just a couple of things in your catalog that I'd like to draw your attention to just for consideration. Suggestions, not requirements. In your complaint response policy, you talk about you are responding in a timely manner. It may be helpful for students to have something more defined on there.
Okay.
Than the word timely. So just get consideration around that.
Okay.
The only other piece that you might, as you're looking at conferences and whatnot, to consider is language around ADA and what the current nomenclature is for referring to people with disabilities. There's some terms in there that are a little bit outdated from the current nomenclature in that. And the last question I have is clarification for your goals. Many of your goals speak to health professions. And I wonder if you could clarify if that's something broader than medical massage you're looking for, or is it just the massage that you're considering in health professions?
You mean as far as the attendees in my class that I mentioned? Or what are you?
In the catalog on page 6, you have a goals section. And in that goals, you're speaking about working with and having training for health professions.
Just for other professionals to learn massage. It was the intention there. I need to maybe reword that then. I want to keep it to just massage, but working with other medical professionals and referring back and forth.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. I have no further questions. Are there any board members that have any questions for Ms. Record?
No questions, but I did just want to acknowledge and I appreciate you including in case you were unable to support a class, that you have a nice fallback of other people to pick that up to keep the students progressing forward. So I just wanted to acknowledge that and say thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I play well with others. I think in these summits that I've been attending with AMTA and ABMP, I've met most of the other owners and instructors from other schools, and I'm happy to refer to Gateway or ACES or, you know, SWEHA or any of the other schools if I cannot do it, or with the student clinic, and they're the same way back. I think there's a really good community of support between the schools instead of a competition.
Great to see and hear. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you, Mr. Romano. Any other questions? Hearing none, I'd like to make my motion move to
accept. I have one question, sorry.
Yes, Dr. Mittman.
Hi, everyone. Tammy, are you really the owner, instructor, and the janitor?
Yeah, see the gray hair? Hopefully not forever, but I don't believe in borrowing money and overextending, which is another reason I didn't want to get accredited and have people do the same. I want people to own their education, and I'm setting an example by living within my means. I didn't take out any loans to start the school. I did it out of my own back pocket, and I'm scrubbing toilets at the end of the day and taking out trash. And yeah, I'm pretty tired, but I'm hiring people one by one, and hopefully it won't be forever.
well, good for you. Sorry for interrupting, Dr.
Quite all right. Thank you. So I make a motion to move Arizona School of Medical Massage and Wellness from conditional to regular with the stipulation of the maintenance of the $15,000 security bond. Ms. Recker, is that a stipulation you agree to?
Yes.
Do we have a second?
This is Dr. Ball. I'll second it.
All right. Mr. Ball, thank you very much. Any further discussion by the board? Hearing none, Mr. LaMountain?
Dr. Mittman?
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly? Ms. Kelly?
Sorry, aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye by your vote of 7 ayes. And I would like to say this is the first 7 vote that we've had in like a year and a half where we've had everybody here. So thank you. So by your vote of 7 ayes, no name.
Thank you.
And how long is that going to last, Kevin?
About an hour and a half. But
there you go.
Congratulations, Ms. Frocker. And we appreciate you taking time on the call today, so thank you for that. With that, we will move on to Teach Us, number 3, under the conditional to regular licensure, and Mr. Ball as our lead.
Okay.
anybody from the school available to make any opening statement?
Brandon Jurgenatis here, Managing Director for Teach Us Arizona.
Welcome.
We thank you. Thank you very much for your time. We are currently in the process of obtaining our final approvals through Arizona Department of Education to offer alternative certification programming as listed in the documents provided. The application process took us a little bit of extra time through the Department of Ed, but we are on track for approvals this year. We have yet to recruit, market, or enroll any candidates, of course, since we require Department of Education approval first before we may proceed.
Okay, great. A couple questions. Could you explain to the board how Teach Us fits into the financial statements that we have been provided from, is it Bertelsmann? I don't see when I was looking at reading the audit report for Bertelsmann for the last one we have is June 30th of 2021. There's no mention of Teach Us anywhere in the note disclosures or anything. So how do you fit into that?
So Teach Us is a brand new entity. In fact, our latest documentation that was provided in the renewal process in August does include Teach Us as a new entity at the very bottom of that organizational chart. It is a new education vertical focused on addressing the teacher shortage. So that is our Bertelsmann Health and Human Services is our senior parent company, and they are subsidizing the operation and will be providing full financial support for our entity.
Okay, and so I notice you're like a subsidiary then of Bertelsmann?
Correct. We are owned exclusively by Bertelsmann Health and Human Services.
And you're aware that for the year ending June 30th of 2023, Bertelsmann lost over $12 million.
That's correct. It is an investment company, so it does exchange, and monies do shift around within the organization itself. But I have been made aware by the board that the variations for next year, should those occur, we'll provide additional documentation explaining what is occurring financially that would address any of those deviations.
And so Teach Us itself doesn't have its own separate financial statements yet, is that?
That is correct, sir. We are not operational at this time.
Okay, all right. Staff has gone through and reviewed all the material you've submitted, and they found everything to be in order. I'll open it up to discussion by my fellow board members if they have any questions.
Sorry, Mr. Gigantos. Is in regards to the Department of Ed, where do you currently stand on that again?
So the Department of Ed at the state level is currently reviewing our final applications to offer both elementary, secondary, and ed specialist certification programming. So we have submitted the apps. They go through the review process. They provide feedback. We are in the process of obtaining our final feedback and approvals through the State Department of Ed. Those are expected before the end of November.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. When do you expect to start enrolling your first student?
From the moment in which we obtain approvals, our anticipated launch of the program would be early spring. So we would be looking at somewhere in mid-January, which also coincides with the hiring season for prospective teachers.
That was going to be my next question. It looks like right now your staff pretty skinny, understandably, waiting for that department approval.
That's right.
Okay.
And all positive feedback from the State Department. We just have their formality. We've gotten the unofficial green lights. They, of course, will then make things official through their board approval process, and then we will provide this board with all of that uh, of, associated documentation, just ensuring that our catalog is representative of that of which has been approved.
Any other questions? Hearing none, I'll make a motion to approve the conditional to regular non-accredited vocational program license application with the stipulation that the $15,000 surety bond be maintained. Does the school agree to maintain that surety bond?
Yes, Mr. Baum.
Okay. I'm ready for a vote.
Do we have a second?
Scott will also second it.
Very good. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Mr. LaMountain?
Dr. Mittman?
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Boutte? Aye. Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
Aye. All right. So the vote of seven ayes, no nays, that motion passes.
Congratulations, Mr. Gigantos. And thank you for your time on the call today. We appreciate it. Good luck with the Department of Ed.
Thank you very much.
All right. Dr. Mittman, I was carrying the torch for you at this time. We are on Section B of conditional to provisional license renewal. So I will pass the baton back over to you as our chair.
Could I can I make a request? Mr. Romano, are you, does that mean you're leaving the meeting?
I am not leaving the meeting.
Okay, then, and I think everyone knows this is your last meeting on the board, at least for a while, correct?
It may be. Yes, I may extend to the end of the year here. I'm more than happy to continue on with the agenda or your call.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you wouldn't mind, I love being part of the meeting when you're the chair. So if it's okay with you, please continue.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Mittman. I'll take that as a compliment. All right. So with that, the Institute of Brain Education with Dr. Leck as our board lead.
Thank you, Mr. Romano. Would someone from the institution like to make an opening statement?
Yes, thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. I'm Michael McCann. I serve as the General Counsel and Director of Compliance for the Institute of Brain Education. Today, I'm here with key members of our institution, including Steve Kim, Joy Kim, and Hope Im. In response to the escalating demand for sustainable solutions and mindfulness practices, IBE has desired to expand its educational offering by proposing two new master's degree programs, the Master of Science in Regenerative Earth Management and the Master of Arts in Integrative Brain Education. We applied for the license for our master's degree programs with the Arizona Board, and a conditional license was approved during the board meeting of August 2022. Since then, we have diligently dedicated ourselves to crafting the curriculum, establishing administrative processes, and implementing an e-learning system. With these efforts, we were able to launch our programs in September of this year, 2023. As of now, we are proud to report that our master's degree programs have welcomed 21 students, and we've enlisted the expertise of dedicated faculty members. Our initial courses, which are common to both programs, have set a strong foundation, and we plan to continue expanding our course offerings in the upcoming semester. One of our foremost objectives has been to achieve accreditation. We are actively working towards full accreditation by the Distance Education Commission, DEAC, by September 2024. Currently, we are diligently engaged in the self-study phase as we prepare the comprehensive application package required for this accreditation. In light of our aspirations and the progress we've made so far, we humbly request the renewal of our existing license to a provisional license. This renewal will be instrumental in fostering the growth of our institute and furthering our positive impact on the communities we serve. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So I reviewed everything, and I even made comments in my version of your catalog where most of my comments come from, but of course they went away. So I'm going to kind of summarize with my 1,000 windows open. I must have closed it, but I'm going to summarize kind of some of the questions that I have. The most interesting thing I thought was the differential between doing like a vocational type instruction and then immediately moving to a master's, right? Because that the learning chasm is pretty wide between those two things. And the reason I say that is because I see that in your catalog that it's you may have a need to kind of tighten some things up that are significantly different between those two types of education. So for example, and I'm trying to do this off memory because I of course lost my notes, but the when the transfer policy, right, it'll talk about transferring in, and while that is generally used for master's level courses, if you're going to have a content to content match and taking courses like that, the overall policy isn't as clear, and it even talks about training. So one of my questions is, do you allow training from another program into these programs? And if so, how do you assess that they have those when some of your programs are really quite short, right? With like, I think one is 50 hours. Do you do that or?
Yeah, I'm not sure we've formulated a formal process for that. We're still in the process of completing a lot of those type questions for DEAC, and it's kind of a learn as you go. So far, we haven't faced that situation with anybody coming to us with that kind of training, but we will be meeting all of the DEAC requirements, which sometimes go beyond what the board requires. And you know, we are aware that we're making a jump from vocational school to master's degree programs. But we're doing everything within our power to, and DEAC is also helping remind us of all the work that we need to do. And we are making progress in those areas.
Okay. And I'm going to say that's probably what I'm seeing is the meeting the foundation to run a master's, you know, all the master's programs and have all that infrastructure to be able to assess whether content's going to be transferred in, and having all of those policies well documented, I think is kind of missing. And the other things I think that you might want to go back and look at is I believe you have an application fee from what I can tell of $75 or $200, but when you do costs in your catalog, they're not included in there, even though the student is paying those. So like sometimes it'll say zero fees, but it's not zero fees if they're paying the app fee. So I was trying to trail that down through the catalog because the just the way you guys have it set up, which is fine, isn't like there's not a master list, right? So I'm just trying to go back and forth between documents to determine whether I'm misinterpreting it or, you know, whether you guys want to go back and make sure that those are correct. In your enrollment agreements, for example, in the titles, I believe your master's programs don't actually say that they're a master's. The enrollment agreement just gives you the major. I think it's probably really important that you write that it's a master of arts or whatever your degrees are in there. So I think there's work to do in your documentation and policy setting to ensure you don't get into pickles.
Okay, thank you. And we would welcome any written letters or recommendations you would like to make to us, Dr. Leck.
I would love if I could figure out where that thing went, but I think you will get a lot of that from the DEAC process. My just concern is that you have students in the interim, right? And then if your policies aren't solid, you're going to run into some situations where I think students could make complaints because it's not clear, right, how things are going to be processed. So that's the bulk of mine. Other than that, I mean, I understand, you know, your mission of your institution. What platform did you say you launched on online?
We're going with Moodle.
Okay. I'm not particularly familiar with that one specifically, but I've heard of it. Okay. I think that about summarizes all the things that I was seeing. I do have a question for Mr. LaMountain, and just for my understanding. The other section was conditional to regular and this is conditional to provisional. Is that because they're going for accreditation that it's a separate section?
Dr. Leck and members of the committee, yes. So the Institute of Brain Education has actually been licensed by our board for quite some time. And then last year, we had to move them from just the vocational to the non-accredited degree, which is where they're at. They have to go through a conditional for the first year, and then now they will move to provisional as we monitor their progress towards accreditation.
Perfect. I assume that, and I just wanted to verify I was not incorrect. So that you guys will be on provisional for until you achieve accreditation. And if I remember correctly, that would just include continual updates on your pathway, you know, to getting accreditation.
Right.
Okay. So that is the end of my questions. I'd like to open it up to other members of the board.
Dr. Leck, I'll jump in here. I think what you were referring to before is on page 9 of the catalog in regards to the registration fee being zero. And then as you go further down onto page, 14, you break out the $75 application fee. And then on your website, it talks about a $200 fee. So I think that's where it's seems inconsistent, and we're trying to get clarity around that piece of it. What do you actually charge for the application fee?
Steve, is it 200? I'm not sure off the top of my head what the exact number is, but we'll get them consistent.
We sometimes see this with schools where they're starting to get things kind of building the plane in flight, if you will, where sometimes you don't have that cross-checking of, oh, we made a change to our application price, but we didn't update our catalog, but we updated the website or something of that nature. So please, if you could take a look at those materials. I was also trying to get clarity. You list out a large number of textbooks for the in the learning material or learning materials section, number 4, that starts on page 12 of the catalog and progresses to page 13. I was curious, is that required, and should that also be in the fees section for a student? I know you talk about instructional materials and supplies fees, and you have a cost of $150. It just seemed $150 was light compared to all the materials that they might otherwise need. Am I missing something there?
I can answer the question. The minimum the payment for the material is something that the institute provide, but there are other textbooks they can buy on their own. So that's how the 150 is very light, but that covers the essential, the basic material that the school provides.
So would you consider that complementary materials that a student could buy, or that would be required for them to complete the courses in the program?
It depends. Some programs are a requirement, but some others are just the reference materials they can choose.
Would you, to try and get to the fine point of it, of the ones that are required, Is that reflected in the $150 fee that you have for instructional materials and supplies fee, or are there things that are not captured in the cost of the education in section number 9 on page 14 of the catalog?
Let me open the catalog.
The reason we're asking this question is out of concern that a student does understand what they're signing up for in regards to the cost of their education and that, and if they end up becoming surprised by fees that were not disclosed prior to that. So there may be an opportunity to just clean that up and review it to make sure that you, again, changes were potentially made in one area or additions were made in one area and possibly not in another.
Yes, because we are adding new program, actually, we didn't, we did go through the older updated document, but I think still there are some discrepancies. So I will, we will make sure that we check all the those numbers and make sure that all the numbers are consistent.
Yeah, please. Thank you. Appreciate that. And then of the 21 student population that you currently have in the cohort from that standpoint, how many of those are Arizona residents?
Because we cannot recruit students from the out of state, some are the Arizona, but some are international students because there is no restrictions about international recruitment. So we are working with the other institutes in other countries, especially in some are in Europe, some are in Asia, so some are international students.
So I'm not sure I quite got clarity on that. Are all 21 international students or
no? The I don't have their locations in front of me, but I believe about 60% is international and 40% from Arizona.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Romano.
Mr. Romano, members of the board, I do have a question. So in the application that you presented to us for the renewal, I see that you stated that you have zero students and that you have zero GTR. And what you're telling me right now is that that is not the case, that you actually have 24 students, give or take. So did those students arrive after your submission, which was on July, you submitted your application on July 31, so the last date before it was due, on July 31 of this year. Can you explain why I have an application that says you have no GTR, gross tuition revenue, and that you have no students, yet now you're telling the board that you have 24 students and apparently there would be tuition associated with that?
Yes, those number zero student was for 2022, and then we after the we started receiving the registration in August. So those students, they were waiting, but we didn't actually start the actual registration yet. So that's how we got the numbers updated after we submit the data.
Okay, so the number of students you currently have enrolled is 24?
21.
21? Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Dr. Leck, I don't have any further questions.
Okay, I was looking through while you were asking questions, Mr. Ronald, so I have a couple of other points kind of to further what I'm saying. You have your SAP process, your academic progress policy, says a 2.0, but I think it's, you know, the differential of the master's 3.0, and I think that's where this is such a big difference to go from those two things. I'm seeing a very disparate type catalog, I think you really have to kind of go through those. Another one I saw, I just want to point out because it's a big deal everywhere, which is, I think you have in there something about employment, like an employment section after some of these, right? And I think it'll say you can get a job by starting your own home business, or it's like a list of stuff. And I think that might not be what the, the intention, right? Is it a licensure program, right? Do they have to get licensed in order to find employment? Do they have to pass a test? Do you promise employment services? You know, didn't quite kind of get that. I think the stuff that's in there is more marketing-ish versus actually related to employment for that particular program. So those are just a couple more examples of what I saw overall.
Right, to get it more in line with the master's level catalog.
Yeah, or just make sure that you're very, like, you're very distinct. So, for example, if you were going to do admissions, right, you would have a very, you know, admissions policy for your voc programs and then a very clear admissions policy for your master's, right? It's just interesting. Like, in your voc one, it'll say you have to be 18. So my question is, okay, you have to be 18, but you don't have to have a high school diploma, but yet you have a master's program, right, that requires people to have an accredited degree. And so typically, in my experience, accreditors will require you to have that pathway because their students that are in your voc program aren't going to be able to get into your master's program. You don't have a bachelor's program. You don't have the stairway. So that's what's causing, I think, your catalog to look very confusing between these major chasms of the ed. So I think you've really got to go back through every single thing and make sure that you're addressing it from a voc perspective and what that means, because again, that's very different than the master's, and have, you know, maybe under each of those, like satisfactory, your academic progress policy, it'll say vocational programs, and then it's this, and then master's programs, and it's this. Right, to make sure that you've addressed all those policies from these two very different perspectives.
Right. Right, yeah. Okay, I see. We need to be more consistent there.
Yeah. Other than that, any other board members have any questions or comments?
Yeah, can I ask a question, Dr. Legg?
Of course.
Thank you. Could you kind of walk us through the relationship of STI network and the school, and the institute rather, because all of your financials, you know, you offer both, and I don't, are the operations of the institute combined within the STI financial statements, or
the institute is its own LLC, and the sole member is STI Network. So STI is the owner of the school, but the institute is its own functioning operation.
And so, what is STI Network? I see a lot of interesting, activities, Airbnb.
Yeah, it runs a string of businesses, mainly in Sedona, Arizona.
Okay. And so can you just give us a, let's see, I've got, so Airbnb, that's self-explanatory. Aura, Reading and Healing?
Yeah, there's a store up in Sedona. That's one of the services that they offer, is Aura Reading.
Okay. And then... service website sales?
STI sells products, and I assume that they're selling things like crystals and possibly some jewelry over the internet.
Okay. And then finder's fee and commission?
I'm not sure what that would deal with.
BNB, commission income.
There's an organization called Body and Brain that they have an agreement with, that they sell certain products to also.
Okay. And then... and so... for each of these entities, like you said, that there's a store that does, readings, or a store that sells crystals, et cetera. So is the institute kind of, a sibling to each of these entities? I can't remember. Do we have an org chart of the related businesses?
It's unrelated business, I would say. STI operates a store in Sedona directly, whereas the institute is its own LLC with its own functioning staff.
Okay. And so each of these, like you said, so STI operates a store, right? Which store?
Yeah, at least one. It's called Healing Arts in Sedona, I believe.
Okay. And then there's these other stores, right? Like
it has corporations for clients that it may sell some products in bulk to.
Like, for example, reading and healing, right? That's a service.
Yeah, that sounds like a service, yes.
Right. And where is that provided?
I would say in Sedona.
Right. At the STI store or at a different store?
No, an STI operated store.
Okay. And so how many STI stores are there?
I believe just one.
So all of these services then, Aura, private sessions, reading and healing, service website sales, workshop, spiritual detox, that's all in the STI store.
Yes, that's what I believe.
Okay. And then like finder's fee and commission.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'd have to research what that refers to.
And BNB commission.
That refers to a major corporate client called Body and Brain.
And so what's the service that is it STI provides a service to Body and Brain?
Steve, do you know more about that?
Yes, I can answer the question. The Body and Brain, they send members because Sedona is a big the tourist attraction. So sometimes the members to Sedona. So when they visit the store, they get the service. And for that type of transaction, there is some fees and some commission. So those kind of transaction happens between about those kind of business activities.
And so that's income to STI.
Yes.
Correct? But you're not paying you're not paying a commission to get people.
Because they the STI get income through that type of activities. They give some commission to the other companies, other organizations who refer the people to STI. So that's how it pays them commission as an expense. But these activities are unrelated with the IVE operation. Most of the important the role of STI is supporting the financial stability for IBE until it becomes strong on its own.
I guess I'm still confused. I'm sorry for expressing my confusion. So, like for example, there's in the IBE financial statements. So, for example, looking at the balance sheet from July, there's member equity, right, of $51,000. And so is that the member, because I don't see the audited financials in front of me, is the member STI, or are there individual members who are the owners of IBE?
I think that would have to refer to STI. There's no other individual members.
Okay. I guess can I ask? I'm looking for. I'm like calling. If this is like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I'm going to call one of my friends.
Not me. This is
hi. Hi, Mr. Wallace or Mr. Ball. Could you help me? I just want to understand. It feels a little bit unusual to me, but if if this is basically, in your opinion, very similar to, you know, to, let's say, a large national, you know, corporation that has different, you know, different business entities, one of them happens to be a school, that would make sense. I don't know if it was maybe just the types of services that STI provides that kind of threw me off. Is that what you're seeing, that it's you know, that STI has multiple businesses and one of them is IBE?
Mm-hmm. Well, which enclosure are you asking about?
I'm looking at the combined financials. And so they're sort of separated out. So you have STI network, balance sheet, income statement, and then for Institute of Brain Education, then you also have balance sheet and income statements. I guess it would be easier for me if I saw like an org chart, but I don't want to get hung up on it if it's not an issue.
Dr. Mittman, while Mr. Wallace and Mr. Ball are maybe evaluating that, I believe it has been standard practice for other schools to kind of pull in with their businesses and those types of things. And as long as we feel comfortable, you know, that as they provide financial information, as they start to report out, and I realize this one is relatively new with the 21 students and all of that are now starting to go through and trying to understand the cost. I think that it seems to what Mr. Kim has provided, that is the financial stability to get the school up and running, which we've seen in other practices as well for schools that are using their, whether it be, you know, hair care, beauty supplies, or other elements to help support that. So just wanted to offer that perspective in this discussion.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with that. Mr. LaMountain, you were going to say something.
Yeah, Dr. Bevan and board, as a reminder, as this is moving on to a provisional license, the institution will come back to the board every year. So if there are points that we need to clarify, we will certainly communicate whatever the board decides. I will communicate with Mr. Kim, Mr. McCann about what exactly you would like to see in the next go around for financials when they appear before the board next year in August or in October.
And we do communicate with Mr. LaMountain.
You do.
Kevin, you remember April Quartet has been involved. We come up with various questions. And so we hit you with our questions as the year go on. But certainly taking into account the comments from Dr. Leck and Dr. Mittman, you know, we'll get more consistent, you know, have a nice org chart ready and satisfy DEOC. And then when we meet next year, we should have everything really under control, I think.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to attempt a motion here, if that's okay. And that motion is to approve the conditional provisional non-accredited vocational and degree granting license application with the stipulation that the $15,000 surety bond be maintained, that the catalog be edited to be clear for both demographics of vocational and graduate students, and that you submit a org chart of the financials stuff.
Sure. Yes, agreed.
So, Dr. Leck, just for clarity, that's a stipulation that would essentially say until they provide that, our vote today, assuming it's affirmative, would not go through until they provide that. Is that your intent?
No, not necessarily, just maybe in short order. Like, because the catalog is going to take them a hot minute to do. They have some work on that. I don't think you can do that quickly.
Mr. LaMountain?
Mr. Romano, members of the board, so typically what will happen is in this particular case, we will monitor and we will I'll set a communication to the institution to let them know that these are required. If for some reason they don't respond within a period of time, you know, 60 days or so, then we would have additional comments and concerns, and then eventually it would have to come back to the board if we needed to do that. Our relationship with the institution has that they've been very, very open and free-flowing with information, and they've provided it always in a timely manner. So what we would normally do in this case is we'll go ahead and we would, based upon your approval, go ahead, provide the license to them, and then monitor the requests that the board has and make sure that we get those.
Very good.
Please don't make me have to say that again, because I don't.
You're good. You're good. Do we have a second?
I'll second, Dr. Boutet.
Thank you, Dr. Boutet. All right. Any further discussion? Hearing none, Mr. LaMountain?
Dr. Mittman.
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace? Mr. Wallace? I will come back. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Boutet?
Aye.
Dr. Boutet votes aye. Mr. Wallace? See that you're on. Well, by the vote of 6 ayes, 1 not voting, that motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good rest of your day. And now we will continue to move on under item number C of new applications with Ocean Point Dental Assisting Academy of Phoenix with Dr. Mittman as our lead.
Thank you, Mr. Romano. Dr. Mittich, do you care to make an opening statement?
Yes. Good morning, everybody. My name is Dr. Maria Mittich. I am the owner and of the Ocean Point Dental Assisting Academy of Phoenix. Can you guys hear me good? Okay. I applied for the license with Arizona State Board of the Private Post-Secondary Education. And the dental assisting school will take place in my dental office here in Phoenix. It's called Healing Dentistry. So my mission was to, where I also own the real estate, so just to make clear, my mission for the school was to create affordable program that students can have, but also to have a good hands-on program. So that's why the school will take in my dental office. And they will be practicing in dental chairs, but they will also have the back room with also chairs where they can come and practice anytime, not just the 8 hours that we place as a mandatory every week. So they're basically more than welcome to come anytime. My goal was really to have the school where they can learn hands-on, because dental assisting program is always needed. I mean, dental assistants are always needed, and we have such a huge problem when we are hiring people. Even after school, they're not well trained, and I would like to make that application.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
So a few questions, Dr. Mittich. First of all, thank you for everybody can mute except for me. I'm the only one. Your application was very complete, and I appreciate the some of the things that you called out, your ethical advertising principles, the professionalism of the advertisement that you shared with us, the sample. A few questions. one of your goals is to have a better than 95% graduation and job placement rate. Do you know what, like, what's the standard in the field?
Well, I don't honestly know the standard. We just stated it because we really want to teach them the hands-on program. So they will really be here practicing a lot. So that's my goal for them to practice. So once you have applicant and once you hire dental assistant to really know basic very good, but to know even a little bit more than a basic. The basic is always the gold standard. But I really, because so many times we really hire, I'm going to just say that again, we hire dental assistants even after school, and they tell me, I'm sorry, but I don't know nothing. And we have to retrain them all over again.
Yeah. Okay. Well, understood. The program, one of your, in your business plan, you seek to prepare graduates to meet the future oral health needs of a culturally diverse society within a changing dental healthcare system. And so could you share a little bit about, from a culturally diverse society, you know, do you have something, you know, special towards that, either like cultural competence or, something around inclusivity or diversity. Is that what you're referring to there?
Well, because we are, most of us here is foreign. We wrote it as everybody.
You are?
I am. I'm from Serbia.
I know. We know that because that's where you first went to dental school.
Yes.
And
then I went to Loma Linda. So we wrote it because we are a very diverse team here. And just to make everybody feeling welcome.
Yeah, that would be a nice, that might be, and, you know, there's parameters that you'll have to abide by, but that might be a nice way to distinguish yourselves.
Thank you.
Probably thought of that already. Okay. You project enrollment of 20 in the first 2 years and then 25 in the third year. Do you have like a bottom line number that you have to make in order for the program to run? Like, let's say, you know, you have a cohort and only two people enroll the first time. Can you still make that work?
Yes. So when I had an idea to open the school, my staff is very knowledgeable about dentistry. Some of them have over 30 years experience. They like to teach. I was teaching in Loma Linda School, too, on the clinic floor. So we discussed that even if we open with 5 students or 10 students, we don't want to make class too crowded because we want to give them chance to really practice. That's why I wish you guys can come, but we have 6 chairs in a dental chair floor and then 3 in the back where they can practice and no patients are coming there. And my staff was very interested to teach. So that's why Nona and Juanita are on the application. And we're going to share, they would like to help me, and we're all going to be teaching. So it's not, the time is not a problem. Our dental office is open 1 week, 3 days, another week, 4 days. So we have plenty of time. And did I answer your question?
Yeah. So you mentioned your dental assistants, who I know, I'm not sure. I mean, it looked like they had been with the practice from
for
the
a long
previous
time.
Dentist, so they're very familiar with the practice. In your budget, it says for wages.
Oh, budget.
You didn't have anything for wages. So does that mean that you're not going to pay? Is that like a secret?
No. So I wanted to make I do finances for all of it, even for my dental office. And as I said, the building is mine with the tenants, and I do all the finances. So to make it simple, Ocean Pointer is completely different entity. So we're going to have ADP. They are paid through ADP from the dental office. They will be paid from ADP and from a separate bank account for them. So we can run even with 2 students, 5 students, 10 students, because the materials we already have, I'm going to make it. I didn't want to invest too much in the school yet, like meaning all the material. We renovated the room for the students, inside of your
just
building.
In your budget under wages, it doesn't show anything.
It doesn't have nothing yet, but it will be paid actually from the school, not from the dental office. It will be completely different W-2 form.
Yeah. Okay. All right. It looks like you have a fairly sophisticated marketing plan, but you've only budgeted $650 for a year, and through the first 3 months of like the months of the summer, you already spent $650. So is that an accurate number, or do you think that you're going to have to take more money? And I know because you shared some of the financials from the practice,
mm-hmm.
you have plenty of cash on hand, and I don't think that that's an issue, but I'm just thinking from a planning standpoint, and so that you'll know, you'll be able to measure, you know, the success of the program, that having all of these details, like the wages in there, or, you know, mm-hmm. an accurate number for the marketing and all of that.
So I expect first year it's almost gone. Let's say this year, if we get to have the license and open and already do, I don't believe so, but maybe let's say from January, already lots of patients wants to send their kids here to finish the school. So that's one type of advertisement. Another one will be Google. And I will see how it goes. Honestly, okay. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I mean, if you have a plan, you know, that's a lot of word of mouth, and it sounds like
word of mouth
is on your reputation.
I don't advertise dental office a lot besides patients and me patients. So I don't know. I will start and see how it goes. Yeah. I don't have to have a certain number to work because dental office is already open and it's working very good. So we will see how it goes.
Okay. All right. You have three payment plans. You can pay in full, the $4,275, or you could pay by the week, or you could pay quarter or in installments. The 13-week payment plan actually totals less than if you pay in full.
So really?
Yeah, it's a good deal.
Is it less? I don't know. Maybe it's a mistake.
A little bit less. It's like $50 less. But most of the times when people do that, you know, if you pay in full, you either get a discount, or if you're paying in installments like that, it costs more. And so you might just want to.
It's a couple of dollars less. I don't know. Maybe we're mistaken something there. I'll make sure that's correct.
Yeah. And I mean, it's up to you. Most people would make it more, but that's, you know, that's up to you. It's very, it's very fair of you.
Yeah, I didn't
see that.
I have a question, if I may have a question. I don't know.
I don't know. Mr. LaMountain, does Dr. Minich get to ask questions too?
Not yet.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, let's say if I change any price, because I was listening to the previous conversation, do I have to get approved by you, the board, or I can just adjust the price as we go? Let's say one day it's going to be, I don't know, $100 more, just saying.
Yeah, go ahead, Mr. LaMountain.
Yes, so what you would need to do is, if you are going to adjust anything in your curriculum or anything in your pricing structure, you would need to notify the board. You would need to notify us at the staff level of what that change would be. Depending upon what you're doing, it may or may not require a program change. You know, typically, if you're just going to change $100, charge something $100 different here or there, it's something done pretty quickly. But you need to notify us of any change that you make.
Okay. Any changes? Okay. Right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dr. Minich, do you have any more questions?
No, I'm sorry.
Would you like to make a motion? Members of the board, other questions?
It's just a quick one. You've kind of come around it in a couple different ways, but I wasn't sure if I was quite hearing it correctly. I think your desire right now is about 20 students per year. The program is a 10-week program. Are you looking at capping a certain number of students in any 10-week period to the, I realize based on your floor plan, you have a number of areas where the students could get trained, but are you looking to try and cap it at like no more than 5 students at a time, or could you go as high as 20 students at one time?
I don't think so. I think because it's new for us, we wanted to try maximum 10 students per class for the first time, at least to make sure, because we have 3 chairs in the back, so where they can practice all the time, and 6 chairs on the floor. So my will be to do at least 10 students, maximum 10 students for the first batch, and then we'll see how it goes with us, because we want to make sure we do it nicely versus just having too many people.
Okay. All right. Not trying to run your business at all. I don't know if that was called out anywhere specifically in the catalog where you'd limit the class size. I apologize if I overlooked that piece.
I think it says somewhere that we will start with 10. I think I wrote that.
Okay.
Maybe it's just in my head, but I think I have that in a catalog somewhere.
Okay. I appreciate the clarity on that point. That was all I had, Dr. Mettman.
You're welcome.
Other board members? Hearing none. Hold on a sec here. Hearing none, I would like to make a motion to approve. I have it written down, so hold on one sec.
I've never been part of the board meeting.
Hmm. That one. Here it is. Okay. I will move to approve the conditional non-accredited degree program license application with the stipulation that the $15,000 surety bond is maintained. Can I get a second?
Dr. Leck, I'll second.
Okay. And Dr. Minich, do you agree to that stipulation?
Okay. Yeah,
right.
I can.
Okay, good. Mr. LaMountain, let's vote.
Dr. Mittman?
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. By your vote of 7 ayes, no nays, that motion passes.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you. So what do I do now?
We'll get back in touch with you. We'll send you your license.
Okay.
You recruit away.
Start training some dental assistants.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Mr. Romano.
All right, we will continue on with our new applications of Shahuarita Food Bank. And our lead on that is Mr. Wallace.
Good afternoon. I apologize. My internet went out on the previous vote. But I'm here. Is Ms. Penelope Pestel on the line here, or somebody representing the food bank?
I am on the line, and I am here, Mr. Romano and members of the board, with our executive director, Carlos Valles. And there he is.
Okay. Welcome. Do you have any opening comments that you'd like to make before we ask you some questions?
We do. Well, we're absolutely delighted to have the opportunity to apply for this licensing status. As you can tell, we are a food bank. We have been in business for about 13 years. Started out with 2 people. We served them out of a closet. We are now serving about 400 families a week, which is almost 1,900 people. It became obvious, though, very early in our trajectory that it would be necessary to feed hungry people, but not sufficient. And it's critical for those who are taking our services, taking our food, for those who would like to learn. to have opportunities for developmental programs, whether it's English, whether it's basic computer skills. We also have several workforce development programs that we have been offering. But we also realized after a period of time that we want to steer more people, give more people an opportunity to learn the vocational skills that will allow them to earn living wage jobs, well-paying jobs. Certainly getting on a career path as a caregiver is important, but those are not highly paid jobs. So we recognize that the status that we are applying for is really important to allow us to give those folks a real leg up and provide them with the robust programming that would allow them to be employed lucratively. So that has brought us to this application process.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, I read through your information. Can you tell how long you've been in business as a food bank?
Since 2013.
2013.
Excuse me, since 2009. My apologies. 2009.
Okay, 2009. How many employees do you have now?
Carlos, you want to speak to that?
Yes, we have 9 employees.
And a bunch of volunteers, I presume?
276 volunteers. We're on pace for 33,000 hours this year of volunteer support, which is about 17 and a half FTEs.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, are you your own separate corporation? I know you've been sponsored by or associated with the United Church of Christ, I think, down there. Are you separate from the church, or are you sharing space, or what's happening?
We are separate. We became our own Arizona Nonprofit Corporation in 2018, and at the agreement of both the church that incubated us and our need to spread our wings a bit. We initially were in the church facilities, but completed a building in 2022, a 14,300 square foot building that houses both the food piece and the community resource center and the anticipated school part.
Now, you listed a number of programs, CNA and GED and a variety of other things. I'm a little unclear. Are these programs you intend to charge tuition for or fees?
Carlos.
Yes, Mr. Wallace. So the CNA program is through a local partner, through Pima Council on Aging. They have a sub organization, which is the Caregiving Training Institute, and they went through the nursing board. So what we do is we do the marketing piece and we do host the program here on site, and the Caregiving Training Institute is in charge of the curriculum and delivering the program to the students. So our memorandum of understanding is recruiting students for that program in collaboration with the CGTI. The GED program is done with a couple of our volunteers. It's a one-on-one session, and it's usually about 2 hours a week for about 6 weeks. So it's a very, it's very face-to-face. It's a high-touch model. We also have some other kids types programs over the weekends. We have a Lego robotics program that one of our volunteers, who is a software engineer at a local company, he facilitates that program over a period of 4 weeks. And then we also have some health and nutrition programs under the umbrella.
And there is a cost associated with the CNA program. In most instances, because of our relationship with the County One Stop, we are able to qualify that individual, or they are able to qualify an individual based on income for a scholarship. So we've had only a couple of instances with the CNA program where we've had to, we would actually pay the tuition. Our intention is to try to remove barriers to people participating in programs. So that includes being able to get scholarships when possible, but also do what we call barrier removal. So that if, for example, someone in a 5-week CNA class has to have childcare, we do provide dollars for that. And we help them with the equipment they need and so forth. So that we do remove barriers It's a rigorous class. So that really does make it possible for people to participate in ways they might not otherwise.
So you have a remarkable business plan, and in that business plan, you have a half a dozen or eight or something different initiatives, mm-hmm. from CNA to GED to resume composition and things like that. Are you trying to roll those all out at once, or are they going to be staggered, or are you currently doing a lot of them right now?
So we are doing a lot of the programs, but I would say about 85% of the programs or 80% of the programs are done by partners. So, for example, the resume writing is done with the one stop. We provide the classroom, and individuals come in by appointment and work on their resume. But this application for the Google IT certificate, that's going to fall under our scope, much unlike some of the other programs that are in the application.
Okay. Okay, let me just tell you what my confusion is to a certain degree. I mean, the CNA is a training program that makes a lot of sense, is consistent with a lot of our other schools that we work with. But some of these things seem more of an activity that is carried on by a lot of nonprofits to improve the community, and it's remarkable what you're planning to do, but are they really part of the school, a school concept?
Let us clarify. The programs we're planning for the school are not those that are currently being offered. The one that we are planning, that we include in our application, was a Google IT certification. And okay. That is a rigorous 240 clock hour program. It requires a training from Google itself. Our instructor is a trained IT technician, but also instructor. So that is one program also. And Carlos, why don't you talk about this? Because this is your special baby that we've gotten some money for recently.
So yeah, through Freeport MacMoran, who shares who aligns a lot with our mission and vision here, we applied for an augmented reality welding program that we hope to incorporate after the Google IT certificates program. So they did fund the initial capital piece, but also the instructor and overhead for the first year, with the goal of having this certification, so that way we can pursue some of those federal WIOA dollars for sustainment.
Well, and let me add one thing. We live in an interesting area. We have two population centers that range in size from 20 to 30,000, which is mostly the retirement community of Green Valley. And then Sahuarita, which is about 35,000, much more of a bedroom community for Tucson folks. But in both communities, they're surrounded by and often incorporate people of very limited means. And we have a broad geography we cover. And I think, our claim to fame, if we can use that term, is that we have a lot of students, food bank clients who often become students, who come from rural areas. They commuting to a community college, commuting to a technical training program is often a challenge because transportation is limited. There's very little public transit that's convenient, particularly for a person who has repetitive activities like an educational program or employment. And that's another issue that we're working on in another setting. But the important thing is what we're trying to do. There's nothing like what we're doing. And if I say that, I don't want to say that sounds immodest, but there's nothing like what we are doing for the adult, the non-employed 16 to 24-year-olds and adults in an area south of Tucson till you get to Nogales. And there are some programs, but they're very limited in Nogales. So there's a niche here that we believe we can fill that allows more people in more economically troubled areas to be able to get employed in a really productive way. Does that?
I think I'm understanding. it's all under the umbrella of this entity that has the food bank. Is that?
That's correct. Right? Yes.
So you carve out and you bring some folks in for Google IT, welding, or CNA type programs. At least those three.
At least those
three. Whereas other things like GED and resume writing and so forth is maybe a charitable activity of some sort. I don't know. You're not going to charge tuition for that, or maybe
no.
You are.
No.
Okay. But you will charge tuition for Google welding and CNA.
We will. We do intend, however, to work with the county. And Carlos, you know much more about the ETPL program than I do.
So, Mr. Wallace and the board, that is very true. For sustainment purposes, we will be pursuing those WIOA dollars for scholarships. But also, since we are a 501c3 organization, we can apply for private grants for students that might just be above the federal poverty levels, and we can offer those scholarships. So I hope that answers your question.
Well, it does, and I'm just looking down down to the future as we, perform what we're obligated to do and so forth. And your financial statements are going to have this huge, which I think is huge, food bank activity, and maybe some other things. And then in there, there's going to be these class programs or tuition programs. Even I think it's great if you can get grants to pass out scholarships to everybody, but it still will be tuition orientated, and it's going to be how are we going to be able to assess the school separate from the food bank and certain other activities? That's my question.
From a financial aspect, we do have classes in our financial software where we do delineate. So, for example, let's say we get $100,000 for a program that creates a new class under our community resource center. And so from there, we're able to keep a budget process for our fiscal year, whether it's tuition, salaries, operations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Our books are set up in that way, so things aren't commingled in our, okay. So anytime we do, every month when we have our board meeting, it's broken down by class, and we can clearly see where funds are being expended, where funds are being added. So by design, that's our intention. So that way we're not commingling funds under the corporate umbrella per se.
Well, I'm sorry, sir.
So in the future, I could say, let me look at your welding classes and stuff like that. And you got the Freeport money coming in and whatever else, and it's all going to be there. And then you've got instructors and materials or whatever is required in welding. Same thing with Google IT and the other programs, the other teaching programs, school type programs.
Correct. We have to do a lot of tracking. We get federal money, the CDBG money that flows through the state and through Pima County in particular. We get grants from private foundations, and all of them require really rigorous financial reporting to ensure exactly what you're talking about, which is making sure that that the monies are there and that they're being used as they're intended to be used.
Okay. And we do go through a yearly third-party audit that we must pass.
Yeah, I did see that, and I think that's important. Let me turn it over while I'm thinking of more questions. Let me turn any questions my fellow board members have.
I do have a few just to try and gain some clarity, and I apologize. I was trying to re-reference this to see. I know the program is 240 hours. How many weeks does that cover that the student would be going through that?
The goal is a 6-month program.
Okay. And in this particular case, I'm trying to, and it looks like you have a cost associated with it, at least in the catalog, but the enrollment agreement did include of around $1,200, give or take. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then the intent is that the hope would be that somebody would be, they would receive scholarships or grants through WIOA or something else to help fund them to go through that particular program. Obviously, in the catalog itself, and that it gives a description of the course and what that looks like. Seems like it covers a bit, but I'm also trying to reconcile that with 240 hours and what that looks like. And does this really give a student who gains this certificate employability in that market and what that looks like? What have you done to evaluate if a student just who carries this certificate only, what their employability really is in the marketplace?
So we did, I did personally reach out to a couple of professional staffing, professional IT staffing companies in the Tucson metro market. And one of the big things was, it seems like we're in a difficult period where even restaurants are hiring at $18 an hour. And so a lot of these IT companies are needing just a basic certificate to get individuals through the door. Based on Google research, there's over 500,000 active jobs in the country in the IT sector. And speaking to, without throwing names out there from the professional staffing IT companies here, there's a big need, especially a big need for the entry-level IT jobs, because as they move up through their career, the possibilities increase. It becomes much more competitive. The IT world does reward if they want to promote, but it's that initial $50,000 entry level that the IT sector is really struggling. And so what I've done the last year was reach out to various IT companies to see what they were looking at. And while there's going to be a need for some of the more in-demand fields, it's almost like that's the entry point, and that's where they're struggling the most. So it made most sense for us to look at that window of opportunity.
When you think of the length of the program over 6 months, are they going to school 5 days a week, or
and how so it's many gonna hours? Be so it's going to be 10 hours a week, 10 hours a week. And so what we're going to do is when we have our first cohort, when we have our first meeting, see what makes sense for everyone. Our motto is barrier removal. So if the first cohort agrees to an afternoon, then we will do the afternoon sessions. If they agree to a morning session, we will do the morning sessions to remove that barrier. But at this point in time, we have not made a final determination on when exactly those cohorts are going to take place.
Okay. I'm just trying to appreciate a program of this length and understanding that and I applaud you. So I'm not trying to discredit that by any means.
No.
I'm just, in my mind, I'm trying to get around it from the ability of a student to actually persist through the program. And I understand the scholarship piece of it. So hopefully there's no real dollars coming out of the student's pocket, but to think about somebody who's struggling and in need of a food bank and then trying to persist for 6 months in this type of a program for an entry level job. I mean, it's a solution, so I don't mean to minimize that piece of it, but you may need to give thought and consideration of what your retention efforts will need to be to really sustain a student over that period of time and what that looks like. From school operators ourselves, we can tell you, even without a student needing a food bank, the challenges that come along in helping them persist for a 6 month duration versus just falling out. And then, you know, what that obligation may ultimately lead to, because for example, you'll have to decide what your policies will be here. But if a student receives a scholarship to go through the program, but the student doesn't complete the program and the scholarship is only funding it as they go and the student exceeds the 50% period, they're on the hook for right. the full tuition, which means now they have incurred more debt. And unintentionally, you know, the result is harm to that person. So I merely point that out for you. You don't have to solve that here. Yeah. I just wanted you to appreciate that piece. But maybe more importantly, and I'm going to jump a little bit, I just want to hear assurance of you're operating this school. It's not this third party that's coming in and operating a school on your premises.
No. You know, Carlos is going to be the director of the school, and we've designated an employee to be the registrar as well. And we will be operating the school. The school. We will be hiring the faculty. We will be giving direction to the faculty, coaching to the faculty as necessary. So absolutely, it is our program. One other thing, and it really ties into your question of just a moment ago, the folks that we often see are people who were not particularly successful in school. And a number of them do hold jobs, but they are minimum wage, often part-time jobs, so they're underemployed in many ways. So they are often sustained by a combination of, you know, state safety net benefits plus the food that we give them. And we assign coaches to people who need to have that that kind of high-touch response to walk alongside someone when they have not been successful in the past in securing skills and securing employment. So we're really trying to tailor this to the, you know, this doesn't apply to everybody, obviously, but to some of those constituents who might be most likely to drop out. We want to make sure we do everything that we can to support them so they can make a decision to continue. And, you know, we're not being idealistic and saying they aren't going to ever drop out. We know that there will be dropouts. We've had it already. But we do believe that this is a model that will work well for our students.
Okay. And then just to another point of clarity in regards to this, because, again, it sounds like you'll be hiring staff to operate the school, but you won't necessarily control the curriculum. I believe the curriculum is provided by the third party. And so if for whatever reason third party decides to walk away, no judgment, just saying sometimes things don't work, what does the school do?
So, for example, with a Google IT certificates program, we would go just right to Google and see who their next provider would be. Right now, their preferred provider is Coursera. So that's who we have an agreement with for this program. But if Coursera were to break away from Google, the parent company, then we would reach out to Google and see who the next facilitator would be for that program. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. No further questions.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have two question and a comment. So, Carlos, are you allowed to say how much the grant from Freeport MacMoran was?
Yeah, so the grant was for $114,000. And it what we're hoping to apply for is through Lincoln Electric. They have a – let me just pull that up. It's the LEAPS program, which is the Lincoln – Electric Education Partner School Program, and it's a National Coalition of Certification Centers, the NC3 program, which I believe is a national accreditation for welders. And so that would be second to this request. We're excited about this opportunity because in southern Arizona, especially in the rural communities, there's been a need of welders, especially kind of mobile traveling welders. And we're excited because we could potentially train welders to go right back into to work for Freeport, so that whole life cycle takes place.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, I used to serve on the board of Tempe Community Action Agency, mm-hmm. And I'm sure you guys are familiar with each other. And they have a food bank and other services, but this is really this is so innovative. I'll make sure that I have a friend who's still on the board. I'll make sure that they are aware of what you're doing at Sawarita.
Sawarita, yes, yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah, for
sure. Thank you.
I'll tell you, it's been a lot of work, but it's been a real joy because the community's been very receptive to, and the funders have been receptive. We have, you know, any nonprofit does a lot of zero-based funding. You know, when you start the year, you have to, you know, gird your loins and go after grants. But we have been able to accumulate some reserves, and we are really very, very excited about the community support. We could not be doing this without it. Quite simply, yes.
Are there other comments or questions from board members? I'd like to make a motion to approve a conditional non-accredited degree program.
Mr. Wallace, just
yes.
If there is a mistake made in the report that you have, if you would cross out the word degree and put vocational in there, that would be the appropriate motion.
Yeah, I saw it elsewhere in there. So, okay. All righty. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion to approve a conditional non-accredited vocational program license, subject to the organization putting up a $15,000 surety bond.
Mm-hmm. Which we have done.
Is that surety bond acceptable to you?
Yes, indeed. In fact, we have that. We have purchased that bond.
Okay, good.
We have a motion. Is that second for Dr. Mittman? Second for Dr.
Mittman, seconding it. Okay.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, Mr. LaMountain.
Dr. Mittman.
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Romano.
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck.
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace.
Aye.
Dr.
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball.
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly.
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Boutte.
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. By your vote of 7 ayes, no nays, that motion passes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Congratulations. And,
thank you.
Continue the good work.
Thank you. Well, and your team has been wonderful. They have been so facilitative of this process. Rigorous, yes, but also very, very helpful. So thank you.
Appreciate hearing those comments of the board staff. So thank you very much. They work very hard and diligent. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. LaMountain, can I ask a clarifying question in regards to number 9?
Yes.
All right. So given my discussion with you yesterday of continuing to maintain on through December, at least, as I evaluate some of the demands in my roles, if the patience is there with the fellow board members, would it make sense to push this topic to the December agenda?
So moved.
It wasn't a motion as much as a question.
So I appreciate that. And so the news is new as of this last, 24 hours. So I much appreciate that. So we may not have a board meeting in December. We will, however, have a finance committee meeting in December, and we will have more than likely a complaint committee in December as well, depending upon how the materials come in. We could push off the vote on a new vice chair because I think your status, as we've talked about, is somewhat unclear because more than likely you would potentially stay on through January or beyond that. The one thing that we should do, so we can postpone the vice chair to January. I would propose that we move that to January. We do, however, have the complaint committee that has two individuals on it. So we need to replace at least to have 3 members on it, and it could potentially be 4. Keeping in mind, Mr. Romano, that one of the potential complaints that would be heard in December, you may have to recuse yourself from. And I think we've had that conversation before about the one school that you're also a commissioner on. And we're aware of that complaint.
For clarity, commissioner with ACCSC that is dealing with a similar topic, not a commissioner at that school or
correct.
Institution.
Correct. Correct. So so that you would need to recuse yourself from that. So that's we do have the ability, and I believe that both Dr. Boutte and Ms. Kelly have both expressed interest in being on the complaint committee. I don't want to speak on their behalf, but I do believe that we've had conversations about that, that they would be interested. So if that were the case, we could bring them both on, one of them on.
Well, I would certainly make the motion to bring both on if that isn't the necessary piece and Dr. Mittman is suggesting a hand up, but we can see our Assistant Attorney General is raising her hand. So let us pause for a moment to find out what we have just violated.
I just want to seek clarification to ensure that we don't have a quorum of the board on the committee.
Oh, yeah, we would. If there were four, there would be.
Right.
You're correct. So that we do need to have just three.
Is one more desirable than the other right now? And by that, I mean, Ms. Kelly and Dr. Boutte, do one of you have a initial drive to want to get on this committee as soon as possible? Or should we just let you fight it out?
Rock, Boutte, paper, scissors?
Yeah. Why don't you and I talk, Dr. Boutte?
That's great.
And we'll circle back with y'all.
Well, I think we're going to need to make a decision now, because if I do have to recuse myself, we will need a person
fair.
On that committee. So.
Gotcha.
That's rock, fair. Paper, scissors, it is.
If I may.
By all means.
If I may, if you know that one of them is willing to serve, they can speak among themselves and determine their availability and what may be best for the committee and their schedules. So I don't think you have to do it right today, knowing that one of them will agree to serve.
Okay.
That's helpful. Okay. And I was also going to ask, well, I'll leave that alone. So, all right. So pause on agenda item number 9 for now until the January time frame, but make a motion that we accept one of the two considerations to join the committee, and they will let the board staff know which one would like to move forward. Is that I'll fair?
Second.
Okay.
All right. So any further discussion? Hearing none, Mr. LaMountain?
Dr. Mittman?
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Sure.
Sure. Is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay. Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. That's 7 ayes, no nays. That motion passes.
All right. We will find out. It will be the surprise reveal at some point. So we're excited about that. And I took from Dr. Leck's tone that she was maybe hoping that she could come off the committee. I don't know, but she is. You're still on, Dr. Leck. So we appreciate that. All right. Continuing on, we will move to item number 10, which is the call to public. Public input is encouraged. Presentation should be limited to 5 minutes. Please be aware, however, that the committee may not discuss, consider, or take action at this meeting on any item not scheduled on the agenda. During the meeting, additional public comment may be requested, but is generally not allowed. If you do have interest and you are still on the call, please just raise your hand in the feature down at the bottom or at the top of your window. And Mr. LaMountain will call on you appropriately.
Mr. LaMountain, Mr. Romano, this is Susan Cardullo. I am on my phone, so I don't have a little hand raise thing.
We welcome you, please.
Yes, Susan Cardullo with the Arizona Private School Association. I just wanted to specifically thank you, Mr. Romano, for your continued service.
This is great. You guys had an amazing job today. The whole board appreciate everything you guys are doing on behalf of the private school association.
Thank you for that. Any other public?
I see no other hands are raised.
All right. Hearing none, we will officially adjourn the meeting. I can't recall in the board meeting, do we require a motion to adjourn?
We do not.
We do not. So moved. And we are adjourned at 12:59 p.m. on October 26, 2023. Thank you very much, fellow board members and board staff. As always, have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Take care.
Bye.